الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. We finished off with the month of Ramadan with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala accept whatever weak and feeble efforts we could have presented. But Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy is beyond what we can. It's infinite, unlimited. So we have hope that Allah Ta'ala out of His grace and mercy will accept our amal. So the month of Ramadan was a month to conscientize ourselves, to develop taqwa, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that will keep us then continuing in that same spirit of taqwa throughout the year. And the essence of that taqwa is all about the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, refraining from sin. So the tawbah that mashallah we made in the month of Ramadan, which we would have made repeatedly inshallah, to now remain steadfast on that tawbah. And the taqwa that the month of Ramadan was all about, to now continue with that. So that was one highlight in the year of a mu'min. Every year that a person now witnesses the Mubarak month of Ramadan, so that's a highlight for him, that it comes to boost his spiritual self. And then the month of Ramadan finishes off and the first of Shawwal comes in. So from that moment that the first of Shawwal comes in, from one ibadat, this mu'min switches to completely another ibadat. The days of Hajj commence from the first of Shawwal. So the Hajj is obviously a very, very great highlight in the year. And those who are fortunate, who are selected by Allah Ta'ala, will perform the Hajj. But though that would be performed by the Hujjaj, but the ibadat of Hajj is such that every mu'min, his heart automatically goes towards this great amal, this pillar of deen. Even if he's sure that he's not going to be making it for Hajj this year, but that is what is the mu'min's heart all about. He's never in ghaflat. He's not in a condition of heedlessness, unaware of what is going on in terms of what ibadat, what time of ibadat it is, whether it is his day to day. He's not in that situation where he doesn't even realize that the time of Zuhar came and went away already because he was so engrossed in his dunya. And worse than that, that he was now so engrossed in his entertainment and he didn't even realize that he missed his salah, or the salah with jama'ah got delayed, or he was so deep in his sleep that he didn't even make any arrangement to wake up for his fajr salah in time. That's not a mu'min's way. He is concerned, his heart and mind is attuned to his ibadat. And like in the hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the 7 categories of people who will be blessed with the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the day of qiyamah. So one category of people is rajulun qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masjid. That person whose heart is attached to the masjid. So his heart, he's anywhere, he's out at home, he's in his work, he's in his occupation, in his business, wherever he might be. But his heart is attached to the masjid, that the next salah time is what time? I need to start getting ready, I need to move. So his heart is attached to ibadat. Masjid is a place of ibadat. So this is the heart of a mu'min. So now even if after the month of Ramadan has passed, and he is sure that he is not going for Hajj, but his heart will be attached to Hajj because of such a great ibadat, such a great amal. So mashallah, the person who's fortunate enough to go for Hajj, so the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif, they are very pertinent and very important commands of Allah Ta'ala and the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that has been highlighted, and important guidelines and advice that has been given to the Haji. But these aspects that have been addressed to the Hujjaj are such that we who are not fortunate enough to be there for Hajj, but those lessons apply to us as well. Many of these things apply to every single person, anywhere, at every time. Certain things are only applicable to the specific aspects of Hajj. Person cannot perform the wukuf of Arafah anywhere else in the world, and let alone anywhere else in the world. Even in Arafah itself, it's only in that particular time that it's of significance. He goes on the 9th of Zulhijjah, then his wukuf of Arafah is acceptable. But he goes one day before, one day after, he's missed it. There's no significance in being there. So certain things are specific. His tawaf can only be made around Baytullah. It can't be made anywhere else in the world. But other than that, there are many lessons which are for every single person, anywhere in the world, any time of the year. So now this is what we need to focus on, that while this is a lesson for the Hujjaj, and any mu'min, his heart is bound and meant to be attached to the ibadat of Hajj. So at the same time, we should take these lessons for ourselves, for all times. So in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. The one who has now undertaken to perform the Hajj, he's donned the ihram, and now he's recited his labbaik, and he's moving on for Hajj. So Allah Ta'ala highlights certain things for him. So obviously he's going to perform Hajj. Hajj has its specific a'mal, arkan, the tenets of Hajj. Those are things he will have to perform. He'll perform the tawaf, he'll perform the sa'i, and likewise the very specific a'mal in the 5 days of Hajj. But Allah Ta'ala is saying, you are going for Hajj, remember, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. فَلَا رَفَثَ, رَفَث, one specific meaning of this is that anything to do with any aspect of intimacy between spouses, that in the state of ihram, any indication to that also is impermissible. So that is something in that specific context. But then Allah says, wala fusuq, no sinning. So is sin only forbidden in Hajj? Is sin only something that's to be avoided while a person is in a state of ihram? So obviously not. Whether a person is in ihram or not, whether he's going for Hajj or he's sitting at home, whether it's a month of Ramadan or after, it's a month of Shawwal or any time of the year, what Allah has made haram is haram, sin is sin. And that's the biggest calamity. Any person who finds himself in sin, then that is the greatest calamity. That is a greater calamity than any accident. That is a greater calamity than any, as we call it, natural disasters, any earthquake or any flood or anything else. The greatest calamity is sin. Because sin brings about calamities. So this is the root of calamities. So in any case, sin is haram anywhere and at any time. But now the Quran Sharif is highlighting for the Haji, you're going for Hajj. So you should be super conscious. And then Hajj is not something to be performed and left behind and come back. Like the month of Ramadan was not something to now, when the last night of Ramadan was over, and in the case of where the moon is still to be sighted, as soon as the moon of Eid is sighted, so now we leave Ramadan behind. No, the month of Ramadan is gone, but the lesson of Ramadan continues. And the message of Ramadan continues, that we have to still live with taqwa. So likewise, the Haji, when he goes for Hajj, what he does in terms of how he conducts himself correctly, stays away from all sin, becomes very, very conscious, very careful. This is meant to train the person that when you go back home, continue your life in the same manner. And that is a sign of a maqbool Hajj, the sign of an accepted Hajj, that the person's life after Hajj is markedly different from the life before Hajj. There's a very clear distinction that this person has gone for Hajj and come back. And likewise, the month of Ramadan, the person who's now finished off with the month of Ramadan, there'll be a clear difference in his life. His consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the importance of Salah in his life now has been better. His life before Ramadan and after Ramadan, there'll be a clear difference. So likewise, the Haji, he'll go for Hajj, he'll come back a new person. So now this is a training. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَلَا فُسُوق, no sinning. Sinning anywhere in the world, any time of the year, and whoever it might be, sinning is haram. But now Hajj, subhanAllah, this is a time now that brings everything to its peak. So he's being told, no sinning, don't ever entertain anything that's going to come, bring you anywhere close to a sin also. Unfortunately, in the times that we live, then the biggest tool of shaitan goes along with the person everywhere, in the month of Ramadan also, in the i'tikaf as well, anyway in the masjid, and whether it's Hajj, whether it's Umrah, whether it's front of Baytullah, but that tool of shaitan, which shaitan has made his prize choice tool, and his best hook and net, the internet and whatever other nets come along with it. Unfortunately, that destroys so many persons' Ramadan, it destroys so many people's i'tikaf, it destroys so many people's Umrah, and destroys even people's Hajj and Arafat as well. So in any case, now this is the aspect that is being highlighted. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوق وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, and no quarreling and disputing, arguments, fighting in Hajj. Again, these are lessons that the Quran Sharif is highlighting for the Haji. That you are going for such a great journey, don't allow this to spoil that. Hajj is a journey that can sometimes bring about challenges. Person is on a journey where he's going to be in a very confined place sometimes. He's going to be in the middle of huge crowds. He's going to be having to be living around with people who he doesn't know anybody from where they are and who they are. Things are not going to be according to what his preferences are all the time. There are going to be many things that happen in any journey for that matter. The journey of Hajj and then the 5 days of Hajj can become very testing for many a person. So Allah is forewarning us that remember you make sabr on this. And Allah Ta'ala is highlighting wala jidala fil Hajj. That totally avoid any quarrels, disputes. Yeah, sometimes disagreements happen. But that disagreement mustn't become a quarrel. Disagreements happen anytime and anywhere. But there are ways and the manner of addressing a disagreement. And what are the limits in how it is dealt with? Without compromising a person's dignity, without compromising good akhlaq. So now this is what is being highlighted. So now this is not confined for Hajj. That Haji is now going to live that time while he's in Hajj, very conscious, I'm not going to quarrel with anybody. He's meant to bring that along when he comes after Hajj. That now he lives his life in that same manner. Fala rafas, well that is in its specific context. Wala fusuq, avoiding all sin. Wala jidala fil hajj, he's going to come back along with that lesson. He's going to avoid quarrels, disputes, arguments on futile things sometimes, trivial things, petty issues, and just because my ego was trampled a little bit, or just because something or the other, and now that small little aspect becomes a major problem, it starts becoming an issue of where relationships are broken and whatnot happens. So this is a lesson not confined for Hajj. The lesson while we sitting here can take the lesson. And it's meant to be taken. That Allah Ta'ala has highlighted this for the Hujjaj, those who are performing that amal which becomes farz on a person who has the means, that too once in a lifetime. He can go for 50 Hajj thereafter, his farz is only once. He cannot repeat the farz of Hajj. It'll be nafil thereafter how many times he goes. He's got that one opportunity to fulfill the fard Hajj. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't spoil it with any arguments, quarrels, disputes. So now when he comes back, he's coming back with that lesson. And that lesson is for one and all. That we have to become conscious of the what Allah has highlighted for the Haji, bring it in our lives. Staying away from all sin. That is the biggest calamity. And avoiding unnecessary court, working in a way, in a positive manner, to keep relationships, to mend ties, to build bridges, to unite hearts, and to bring about peace and happiness. And this is such a great aspect in deen, because insan is insan. Sometimes we slip up. Sometimes we might say something out of turn. Sometimes somebody else said something out of turn. Insan is insan. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlights this, that somebody now slipped up somewhere. So what is the responsibility of others around? Sometimes it happens between brothers, sometimes between some family members, sometimes between spouses, sometimes between parents and children, sometimes in some other context. But now others around also witnessing what's going on. What is the responsibility? How do they deal with it? So sometimes they deal with it, which is a perfect example of adding fuel to fire. So that is something that will just take things 10 steps back, 100 steps back. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlights what is their responsibility. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Ala ukhbirukum bi afdala min darajati salati wa siyami wa sadaqa." Should I tell you something that is greater, more virtuous, more rewarding than salah, meaning all the nafil salah somebody can perform, and whatever amount of fast he can keep, nafil fast, whatever amount of sadaqah he can give? So the sahaba were most eager for this. What is this? Please tell us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then informed them that islahu zatil bayn, reconciling between two people. That there's some issue, something has happened, something has disrupted a relationship, and somebody takes the effort to reconcile. So he will get more rewards than even somebody performing nafil hajj. And not once, multiple times. He'll get more reward for that little money maybe he spent in trying to reconcile. It doesn't matter, from here there's a ticket and sort it out. More reward than the thousands he would spend on a nafil hajj and on an umrah. Allah loves this so much. And therefore Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stands guarantee in one hadith sharif, "Ana za'im. Ana za'imun bi baytin fi rabadil jannah." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "I stand guarantee." Nowadays if a person has something that he wants somebody to stand surety for him, stand guarantee for him, and somebody who has a very good financial position, somebody who's very prominent in the community, and he comes and says, "Okay, don't worry, I'm ready to stand guarantee for you," feels very secured. Whereas the next day, Allah knows best what his own halat is. He is looking for somebody to stand guarantee for him, because the tables turned. Can we imagine the guarantee of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He says, "Ana za'imun." I am standing guarantee for that person. For who? Liman taraka al-mira' bi baytin fi rabadil jannah. For a palace on the edges of Jannah. Liman taraka al-mira'a wa in kana muhiqqan. For the one who avoids a dispute even though he is right. We're not involving something that it's an issue now, somebody said something, somebody did something. He is ready to forsake that for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Wa in kana muhiqqan. Though he is the one who's on the right. Allah loves this so greatly. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is standing guarantee for the person. So in any case, this is the aspect in the Quran Sharif, and this is highlighted in a Hadith Sharif as well. Man hajja walam yarfus walam yafsuq, raja'a ka yawmin waladathu ummu. That the person who performs hajj in this manner, avoiding all sin, whatever Allah has forbidden, and he comes back like the day he was born, meaning clean of sin. Then hajj, in one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the virtue of hajj, that al-hajjul mabroor, laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Hajjul mabroor. Mabroor, one meaning of this is maqbool, the accepted hajj. But literally translated, mabroor means full of virtue, from bir. Bir means virtue. So the sahaba ikram, they asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Wama birruha ya Rasulallah?" That this hajj which is mabroor, not just a haphazard hajj, not a hajj which a person now is still carrying on with ghibat, half his hajj is gone in ghibat, the other half of the hajj is gone in some other futility, and Allah forbid what else is carrying on, and the gaze is not being looked after, the tongue is not looked after, the heart is not being protected, things are just carrying on. No, the hajj which is filled with birr, with virtue. So now a person going for hajj, it's not possible, it's not imaginable that he's going for hajj, he's not going to perform tawaf, he's going to be making ibadat. Whatever is compulsory, he will do, he will exert himself in nawafil as well. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam now, when he says that this hajj which is filled with birr, so now there might be certain highlights in this. So the sahaba wanted to know, what are these highlights? So they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma birruha ya Rasulallah. Now again, the highlights of hajj, apart from what is necessary and obligatory, which has to be done obviously, but apart from that, there are certain highlights of hajj which are equally applicable to us sitting at home or wherever we might be. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked what is this virtue of hajj, so there are two ahadith which combined refer to three aspects which are the highlights, which are the special virtues of hajj: ifshaw salam, it'amut ta'am, wa tibul kalam. Ifshaw salam, making salam common, spreading salam. Now in the context of hajj, a person is now in the midst of millions of people sometimes, 2 million, 2.5 million. And now in the midst of those millions of people, he knows a fraction of them, maybe 0.5% or 0.1%. Because that's many people have come along from his country or his hometown, whoever. And the rest of them, he has no idea who they are. And he's being told, make salam common, make salam. Allah Ta'ala has made this the special greeting of a mu'min. وَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفَسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. Allah Ta'ala says, you enter your homes, make salam. This is a special greeting Allah has blessed you with, and full of barakat. So, making salam common. Now, mashallah, we came into the masjid. We passed many people who we knew. We passed more than that with people we didn't know. Maybe while coming into the masjid, we didn't pass too many people. But while leaving the masjid, we'll pass many, many people. And more than maybe 70-80% will be those who we have no idea who the person is. Or perhaps you might know some, many we don't know. In some masajid, everybody knows everybody. But in places where people come from different directions, we may not know many. But now how many we'll make salam to? The few, half a dozen who we know. And the rest who we don't know, we'll pass each other without any salam, as if it doesn't matter who the person is. He's our Muslim brother, obviously he's in the house of Allah Ta'ala as well. But salam has become a dying aspect in the ummah, unfortunately. And Allah Ta'ala has, in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has highlighted this as a special virtue of this very great ibadat of hajj. And this is not confined to hajj. Anywhere in the world, anytime, we enter our homes, in the hadith sharif it's mentioned, one of the signs of qiyamah. One of the signs of qiyamah, people will only greet those whom they are familiar with. And they don't know the person, they won't greet him. They know he's a Muslim. But somebody, I don't have any idea who he is, walk past without any salam. We have to bring salam alive in the ummah. Salam with that etiquette, that it's how it should be made, with that sincerity. Bring salam alive, we'll get the salamati. We'll get the true peace and the blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first aspect that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted, ifshaw salam, making salam common. And this has so much of virtue and rewards. And a person now, the whole day is passing Muslims, how many times he'll make salam, how much he'll get. The second aspect, it'amut ta'am, feeding. Feeding people. Feeding what? No qualification of how much and whatever he can. Like in the case of the month of Ramadan, the person who feeds a fasting person at the time of iftar, he gets a reward of his fast. But now, feeding a fasting person, the sahaba were not able to give a person a full meal. Many of them themselves were in need of the most, every small bit. So they were now eager to get this reward. Nabi Kareem Salaam said, one sip of water to somebody, that will bring the reward also. A piece of a date, let alone the whole date. A piece of a date to a fasting person will earn that reward. So in other words, whatever a person is able to feed somebody. Now this is a highlight of hajj. There's millions of people there, 99.9% of them, he doesn't know who they are, where they come from. Maybe he's got some indication from the person, this person is from this part of the world. But other than that, he has no idea who he is. But he's being encouraged, feed. What this feeding does, it creates mahabba. It brings about happiness, good feeling. It bonds hearts. It brings about that love and that brotherhood. So now this is being taught to us. This is something to be done all the time, whatever we can, how much we can. There are people who are literally starving sometimes in our neighborhoods. And they're going to bed without having had something to eat for that day. This is happening from time to time. Ask people in the know. So at least we save the wastage and feed others. Find out where the people are and take the time and effort to go and pass it on with our own hands. And this is such a great and beloved ibadat. Allah Ta'ala's this obligation of Hajj, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the highlight. This is what's going to make it mabroor. It'aamu ta'am. It doesn't require anything fancy, anything elaborate, anything extravagant. Simple, but to inculcate the aspect of feeding. Alhamdulillah, in our community, there are many people who have this very great jazba and zeal. They are all the time enthusiastic to feed people. We need to get inspired by this and increase it. The needs are more than what is being done. So to cut down all these wastages in weddings, etc., there are sometimes colossal sums that are spent on that extravagance, a lot of which is gone into total waste. And there are people starving on the other side. We are answerable to Allah Ta'ala for all this. Allah's ni'mats and bounties. We have to save all that, avoid all that wastage, and spend in the feeding of the makhluk of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It'aamu ta'am. And the third aspect that has been mentioned as the birr, and the special virtue of Hajj, tibul kalam. Kind words. Having a sweet tongue. Kind words. Speaking in a way that brings about goodness, whether it's within the four walls of our home, how we speak. And often that is where we slip up most. That is where all the smile and the sweetness of outside gets left outside. And inside, there's a different, complete different situation. All round, from every direction sometimes, there's only some growls and grumbles. Whereas that is where it's required most. And in general, within the limits of Sharia obviously, many a person, mashallah, remembers that he has to have a sweet tongue, but he remembers it in the wrong place. But now some non-mahram he has to, out of sheer necessity, interact with some customer, whoever, then all his sweetness comes in. Whereas that is a place to forget about the sweetness. That is something to be of total formality. Out of sheer necessity, some work, whatever it might be, he has to be completely formal. And be still making istighfar on that. So unfortunately, that is where only the sweetness comes, in the haram places. And where it's supposed to be sweet, then he forgets about it. The highlight of Hajj, tibul kalam, talking sweetly. Can we imagine what a great aspect this is, that it has been made the highlight of Hajj? So now this Hadi is going to live in that manner for that period of time. He'll bring it back home. He'll live with a sweet tongue, talking kind words, not abusing people with his tongue, talking vulgarity, swearing at people. This will never be the tongue of a mu'min. And especially a Hadi, subhanallah, what can we say? So these are the lessons that are not confined to the Hujjaj. Though this is addressed to the Hujjaj, the lessons apply to us equally. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.